So I was talking with Jesus on a bit of a prayer retreat, and he said, John, I want to have some fun with you. What would be the most fun you could ever have with your church? What would you do? What would you have your church do? What would you lead? How would you lead? And I went, Lord, we're doing it. We're doing it. We have the most magnificent church in the world, people that serve day in and day out. On Fridays, going to Rogers Academy and serving 122 children with food on the weekend. Danny and Joyce leading teams to serve friends under the bridge at UTSA every other week. Just amazing small groups that are investing in all kinds of different areas, with the Selena House and prayer teams that are being trained, and just amazing things. I just felt like God was saying, well, what do you want to do? And I said, God, we're doing it. This is what the church is supposed to be doing. And it was just a couple weeks ago that when Danny and Joyce were down under the bridge, they got a bit of a video testimony, and I want to share that with you this morning.
Lewis, how are you today?
I'm fine, sir.
It's my honor to introduce you to our family at Mission Vineyard. Lewis Watson and I were together 2 weeks ago.
Yes, last week.
And you've been reading your Bible. What was it that you were asking God?
I asked him to make me a new wineskin.
New wineskin.
Yes, and he has done that for me.
So what does that feel like for you?
I don't have the words to explain. It's amazing.
So how do you feel?
I feel new. I feel like a new person.
A new person.
I'm not down like I used to be. I'm happy. I can't explain it.
So Jesus met you there.
Yes, he has. Jesus did.
And what were some of the things that we were asking Jesus to do for you?
To get my ID. He gave me that, and I was able to go look for a job, and I believe I got one.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So who's doing all this for you?
Jesus.
Thank you so much. God bless you. We love you. We want to invite you to come be with us on Sunday mornings. We'll talk to you about a way that can happen, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes,
all right,
sir.
God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Today is one of those days where after the service, you can just go with Danny and Joyce and serve. And there's a Bible verse that's been tugging on my heart, and it's John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm sorry, y'all. This is going to be a day full of tears. And it's not on purpose. It's not. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. My purpose, this is Jesus saying this, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. When we welcome Jesus into all of life, the thief doesn't get to steal and kill and destroy anymore. And in exchange, Jesus brings rich and satisfying life. So in this prayer retreat, Jesus was talking to me about having so much fun. And beyond just the normal day in and day out things that we get to do, we found out just a couple of weeks ago that we, as a small church that we are, get to send out our church plant to Live Oak. So in July, there'll be another Vineyard church here in the city that just got birthed by God's power, because we don't have it. It's just God. And then I was thinking about it this morning. I take for granted that we get to meet in this beautiful space. The way that was all arranged, it was just God. We were trying to serve the students, the kids of soldiers on Fort Sam, and we said, can we throw them a party? They said, no, we're busy this week, but any other Sunday if you guys want to meet here. And I went, yeah. But I take that for granted, just the finances that are needed for that. They want all the money up front. Of course they would. And so we're going to need $10,000 in July. And that's just too big for our britches, but here we are in the adventure of God doing this. And at the same time, sending out a church plant. And at the same time, starting a new children's room. We get to serve kids in amazing ways. We have amazing volunteers and amazing staff. And then in a couple of weeks, y'all are sending me and Julio. Julio's up with the kids. We get to go to Argentina. And we get to ordain new Vineyard pastors in Argentina, where four new Vineyard churches are going to be started. So when God said, John, you want to have some fun? I said, God, I forgot I already was. Y'all, are you having fun? Because who is the church? Is the church a building? Who's the church? Who's the church? Who's the church? You're doing all this. You make it happen. You're serving the lost. You're giving good news to the poor. You're setting prisoners free. You're kicking Satan's butt. Where he wants to steal and kill and destroy, you welcome Jesus into all of life. Where he gives wonderful, abundant life. Rich and satisfying. Church, I want to invite you. This season for our church is going to be adventurous. It's a season that I really feel like God said, watch what I can do. I've repeatedly told you that God doesn't need your money and the church doesn't need your money, and that is absolutely true. But if you ever wanted to participate in an adventure where you saw the improbability of this church doing all these things, have amazing success financially, you get to participate in that. Maybe you've never given before. Maybe God's prodding you. You got a raise or something, and you just feel like, I need to give. The church doesn't need it. God's our provider, but you get to participate in it. This is the adventure that God's calling this church to. And who is the church? The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy, but Jesus' purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Church, if you don't remember anything else today, I want to tell you, our true identity is wrapped up in God's selfless love for us. Our true identity is wrapped up in God's selfless love for us. It's not wrapped up in anything else, but the enemy wants to steal our identity. He wants to steal our identity. Unfortunately, one of the ways that our identity is stolen, has anybody, raise your hand if your identity has been stolen, credit cards or something like that. Somebody took out a loan in your name or something like that. It's happened to me. It's crazy. All of a sudden, you find out that you own a boat that you've never seen before, that's now in another country. And you've got to reconcile this new debt that's just been started on your behalf. It's a complete theft of your identity. Someone else has put your name on something that you don't believe in. This is the purpose of the devil. There's an agenda by a personal evil to steal everything that's yours, to kill and destroy you. And that personal evil is behind all of this mess. He's called the accuser or Satan. We don't often talk about Satan. It seems to, I don't know, it's easier to talk about Jesus and the angels and good things happening, good energy and bad energy and happiness, positivity. But we don't recognize that when we believe in Jesus, we believe in all that Jesus believed in. And Jesus came to this world to kill the works of the devil. The accuser, Satan. He accuses us to the point where the underpinnings of our lives, especially our finances, what we're made for, to love and be loved by God, all that, he wants to take all of that away. Some of us, when we go through losses, and we all have, we don't recognize how to deal with those losses, and so instead we just avoid the pain. We engage in different dimensions, whether it's overspending, alcohol, drugs. Going through these changes is difficult. Any change that we go through really is a bit of a loss because we sacrifice our normal way of living. But it's in those moments that Satan goes, yeah, nothing worked out for you, did it? And he just accuses us to the point where we lose our underpinnings. Some of us are getting older, and with each year, we face more and more challenges. What does it mean to still have an identity as we go through these physical challenges of getting older? Some of you are in the younger stages, but what does it mean to become an adult and leaving behind that you can stay up till 4 a.m. and still get your life accomplished like you used to? Just doesn't work anymore, but that takes a kind of mourning, a kind of understanding of what's going on, a sense of loss that only Jesus can bring us through with health. The enemy at those points wants to steal and to kill and destroy, to tell us that we're not worth anything at all. On the other side of things, it's really easy at times to think, God of course loves me because look at how good life is. It's so wonderful. God loves me. And at that point, we can also lose our identities in just all the good. I was telling Ethan this morning in worship practice that, Ethan, I think I take for granted all that God's doing because I just get lost. Of course God loves us. Look at all the good that's happening. Look at the amazing things that God uses us to do. Church, we exist to welcome Jesus into all of life. And thankfully, Jesus has taught us, the gospel has always taught us the kind of abundant life that can come through loss and pain, through joy. Where the world tells us our identity is wrapped up in all that happens on the outside, how much we're able to excel, accomplish, or accumulate, God tells us that our identity is wrapped up in something else altogether. Our identity is wrapped up in His love alone. It's wrapped up in His selfless love for us. Our true identity is wrapped up in God's selfless love for us. I want to bring you to one of the most powerful places in Scripture for me, and it's the temptation of Jesus. One of my favorite books was written off of this passage. This is written in Luke and also Matthew. And one of my favorite authors, Henry Nouwen, and he writes a book called In the Name of Jesus. I've given it to all of our leaders. I keep on buying more copies just to give them away. Because Henry Nouwen brings out this place in Scripture where Jesus is tempted by the devil. And it brings up three temptations that are so relevant to all of us. So I want to read to you from Matthew 3, chapter 13. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. That's the way that John sounds to me. He's grumbly. He wears skins. He eats locusts. I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you. That's the way John sounds. So why are you coming to me? I didn't know I was going to dramatize the scripture this morning. But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. Now listen to that for just a moment. Jesus is saying, I need to be baptized because this is part of how I receive the true identity of God. I must participate in this. This is Jesus. For those of you who have never been baptized before or haven't been baptized since you became a follower of Jesus, listen to this scripture for just a moment. There's something critical that happens in baptism that even Jesus declares we must do this. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, here it is, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Man in the room, would you hear this verse? This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Women in the room, would you hear this verse? This is my dearly loved daughter who brings me great joy. This is the voice of God that is the crux and the point of where our identity should come from. This is it. And it's given as a gift to Jesus just at the perfect time. Because in Matthew 4, here he goes, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. By the devil. And you go, Jesus was tempted. How does this work? He's God in the flesh, fully God, fully man. And yet, he's tempted? Jesus could be tempted? Well, yeah. He could be tempted, just like us. And so he faces the devil after the core of his identity is settled through baptism. by the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, "You are my dearly loved son who brings me great joy." For 40 days and for 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. Jesus got hungry. Jesus liked food. I love Jesus. A side note, even Jesus, after Jesus raised from the dead, you know what the first things he did? He cooked some fish. Jesus loves food, even when his body is transformed. I just love it. In any case, his body's not transformed at this point. He's fasted, he's become very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son," get this, it's the first test, the first question, the first identity theft that tries to happen. Hits right at the core of what God just told him who he was. "If you are the Son of God, jump off." No, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." Sorry, I'm all over the scripture this morning. I need more coffee. "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Two things here. Anybody ever fasted? Raise your hand if you've ever fasted before. You're not supposed to tell anybody. But I'm so glad you have, because you've been at this time where you recognize, if I could turn stones into bread, I caught you. You're welcome. Jesus loves you. That's the core of your identity. In any case, when you've been at this place where you've been so hungry and all of your identity stripped from you, because otherwise you would just have a nice piece of bread and feel better. On the other side of things, who's ever been to a second or third world country? From the two-thirds world, if you walk around in the two-thirds world, if you walk around in this country, there's plenty of places where you'd love to be able to take a brick and turn it into a loaf of bread for somebody. That's the truth of our society. It's the truth of this world. How wonderful it would be. And Jesus says, "No, people don't live by bread alone. They live by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So that's the first test. The second test, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, "If you're the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so that they won't even hurt a foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." Don't test the Lord your God. And the devil took him to the peak of the high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I'll give it all to you," the devil said, "if you'll kneel down and worship me." This sounds very fictional. It sounds like somebody wrote a story of a drama between two fictional characters, and it's not real at all. Let me tell you, 2,000 years ago, in the desert, in the Middle East, there was a man, Jesus, who was baptized and then fasted for 40 days. And he was tested by the devil. And the devil asked him, "If you bow before me, I'll give you everything. Turn these stones into bread. Throw yourself off of the building." Now, you may have not been tested by the devil in this way, although I've heard some of your stories where the devil has actually come to you and tried to destroy you with accusations. I want us for just a moment to recognize that this modus of operation that the devil's using on Jesus has not stopped. Satan is still asking us to bow down to him, and what that looks like in your life looks very different than it does to Jesus, because we're 2,000 years from that point. To bow down to Satan means bowing down to the identity that this world wants to give us. How much we excel, how much we accumulate. And Jesus says something very, very powerful here. "Get out of here, Satan!" Whatever accusation may be coming at you, whatever the devil's asking of you to bow down to, I want us to practice. Let's just say it together. Get out of here, Satan. Get out of here, Satan. Get out of here, Satan. I have to tell you, on my prayer retreat, Satan tried to accuse me about all that's happening in July. With the growth of the ministry, the need of the finances, sending out a church plant, a new lease, Satan tried to accuse me. And I said out loud at that moment in this empty house that somebody let me borrow, get out of here, Satan! Jesus told him, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. And that's exactly what happened to me. And Jesus came and he gave me the truth that he's our provider. He's our sustainer. He's the only one worthy of worship. He's the only one that's worthy of our time and energy. Our true identity is wrapped up in God's selfless love for us. He is for us. Even so, we are always faced with three temptations. The first is to be relevant, to excel. The second is to be spectacular, what we accomplish. And the third is to be powerful, what we accumulate. Jesus was tempted in the same way. To turn stones into loaves allows us to be useful in every situation. It gives us welcome in any situation. That's what many of us want. We want identity and value based on what we can bring to the table in our relationships and at work. To be able to be saved by angels through any situation would give us the attention of everyone we know. It'd be like knowing somebody who is the circus. It would show that we were important and worthwhile to know. To be given power over the world is the most that anyone could ever dream of. In today's day and age, it's all about accumulation of power through politics and money, through how much we can overthrow people. But Jesus already knew his identity. It was shown in his baptism. It was told to him by his Father. Henry Nouwen, this author I was talking to you about, said this, the great message that we have to carry as ministers of God's word and followers of Jesus is that God loves us, not because of what we do or accomplish, but because God has created and redeemed us in love and has chosen us to proclaim that love as the source of all human life. We are loved not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus has done. God loves us, and that is the core of our identity. 1 John 3:1 says, see how much the Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that's what we are. But people of this world who belong to this world, they don't recognize that we're God's children because they don't know him. Psalm 103:3 says, he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death, crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ who never sinned to be our offering for sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. God has done all of this so that we wouldn't be stolen away by the way that the world wants to steal us, so that the devil wouldn't tempt us, wouldn't steal our identity. Our true identity is wrapped up in God's selfless love for us, and it's demonstrated in Jesus, and it's demonstrated by Jesus. I must do this thing so that my identity is wrapped up in the purest and best way. I must do this thing. Jesus becomes a high priest. Instead of what the Jews were doing and making sacrifices back in the day, trying to hide their sin from God, Jesus puts away any temptation. Jesus puts away any way that Satan would try to steal our identity and causes the core of it to be wrapped up in God's love. He's the demonstration of that. When we think of the challenges of today, anybody on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, do we have that picture of Bill Murray? I'm using Bill Murray in a sermon this morning. I don't even know if this is his true quote. I just found it. Social media is training us to compare our lives instead of appreciating everything we are. No wonder why everyone is always depressed. Not only do we get depressed by comparison, We're constantly faced by violence, shootings, racism, politics that is unimaginable. All in a satanic desire to steal the core of humanity's identity. Instead of being wrapped up in God's love, driven by God's love, we start to be driven as antagonists to whatever narrative that we see. Or we become desirous of the narratives that are out there. I want that house. I want that lifestyle. And all of a sudden we're lost. This truth from Hebrews 4:14 I want to share. So then, since we have a great high priest who's entered heaven, this is Jesus, the Son of God. Church, this is for us. Let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, and yet he did not sin. If Jesus had Instagram, he would not get depressed. If Jesus had Facebook and Twitter, he would not be comparing himself. If Jesus had the most famous Googles, I don't know what, he would not be driven to just be an antagonist of whatever the other picket signs are up online. He would be purposed and driven by one thing alone, by the identity given to him by the love of his Heavenly Father. And that's what we must be if this world will be any different than the way it's being driven right now. Amen. Henry, now and again, he's saying the radical good news is that the second love, all of this broken reflection of the first love, all of these secondary things of finances, whatever it is, it's a broken reflection of the first love. And that first love is offered to us by a God in whom there are no shadows. Jesus' heart is the incarnation, the indwelling, the bodily form of the shadow-free first love of God. From his heart flows streams of living water. He cries out in a loud voice, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me. Let anyone who believes in me come and drink. Come to me, all of you who labor and are overburdened, and I will give you rest." If you're here today and you are overburdened, Jesus wants to set you free. This is not the way that God made you to be. Whatever lies the enemy has thrown on you is not your true identity. The devil is a liar. And Jesus is the truth. And his truth is spelled out on the cross by his love. And he says, "Come, I've taken the biggest burden of the world. Let's exchange." When love comes to town, we exchange our burdens with Jesus. When love comes to town, we exchange our identity with Jesus. We lay down anything that we think could ever make us whole. And we say, "Jesus, I give it to you. Would you take it and put it on your cross? I want what you've got. I want what you've got." Would you stand with me today? If you want Christ to live in you today, would you raise your hand? If you want what Jesus has in his identity in the Father, would you raise your hand? Jesus not only wants to live in you, he wants to live through you. We were meant to live for so much more, to live out of an identity filled with love, overflowing with love for the world, exercising amazing power through that love to bring good news to the poor, sight to the blind, freedom to prisoners, the favor of God, claiming the rightful identity as children of God. You are my son, you are my daughter, in which I am well pleased. I love you, and that's all you need. That's all you need to know. Come to me. You're carrying the burdens that the enemy has put on you. You're carrying the lies that Satan wants to steal and kill and destroy out of you. Let's claim our rightful identity. Would you extend your hands this morning? In the name of Jesus, we strip off any false identity that Satan has tried to put on us. We lay it before you, God. We place it on your cross. We exchange. We say, God, if you're willing, and he says, yes, of course, then every burden, every lie of the enemy, we place at your feet and we say, take it, God. I want more of what you have. I want your love. And church, would you right now, in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, receive the transforming, miraculous love of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. That's all you need to know. This is the core of your identity. This is what allows you to go out into the world and transform the things that can't be transformed naturally. This is the love that goes out and shares abundantly with your enemies so that your enemies don't become enemies anymore. This is the love that goes out to the polarization of this world and says, no, I know love for everybody. And I welcome you to it, Democrat, Republican, activist. This is the love that goes out and destroys racism. This is the love that goes out, destroys materialism. This is the love that goes out and destroys consumerism. This is the love that goes out and rescues children. This is the love that goes out. Would you receive it right now by the power of the Holy Spirit? Church, we are called to live for so much more. If this is the first time you're receiving God's love, I would love for you to pray with me this morning and just a very easy prayer, a little bit different from on the screen. Don't have to put that up this morning. Would you just say this morning with me, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Thank you for forgiving me. I believe in you. And I believe that your love can transform the world. So fill me with your Holy Spirit and send me out with that love. Thank you, Jesus. There are some needs that you have this morning, physical, emotional, spiritual. If this is the first time that you've prayed that prayer, whatever's going on in your life this morning, there are prayer teams this morning for you. And you are welcome to engage them. At the same time, we have tables available for you this morning where you can receive communion. The body and the blood of Christ for you, given for you, a table made by Jesus. This is that inception of receiving that. There's a love out there that's not of this world that is for me. Would you come and receive? Would you come and receive? Would you welcome Jesus into all of life as we worship with one more song? Come see a prayer team, and then I'll come and pray for all of us before we go.